Remember the first two verses, our memory verse this morning. If you remember it now and know it, let's sing it with me, please. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. The city of the great King is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. The city of the great King. Let's say it again, please. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. The city of the great King is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. The city of the great King. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that You would be with us this morning as we open Your Word now. I pray that You would help us, dear Lord, to honor You. I pray that You would just allow us to be used in your way this morning, dear Lord, that we would be a blessing. I pray that You take these feeble lips and these words that come from my mouth, and I pray that You would allow the Holy Spirit to have the power to use these to convict our hearts, to apply the lesson to our hearts this morning. We thank You for all that You do for us, guide and direct in all parts of this service. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. 2 Samuel chapter 6 this morning. We have been looking at the life of Levi and his descendants. And as we're wrapping this up this week and next week, we have seen how God has mightily used the tribe of Levi throughout the Scriptures. We have started with a son of Jacob that really went the wrong way, and how he plotted a murder with Simeon, and really almost a genocide of a people, and how God is the God of second chances, and how God used this tribe of Levi, to really be a blessing to the entire people of Israel, and how He is using them to really show Himself. So we have seen that through our journeys, through this life of Levi and his descendants, and we come today to a particular portion of Scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Look with me in verse 1. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baalah of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahiah, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahiah went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on the manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. There he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord hath made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom from his and all his household. Now hold your place there and go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, a couple books over, and chapter 13. Just another portion of Scripture that's describing this. 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, "And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, If it seem good unto you and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at all in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. That's important. It was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shehor of Egypt, even unto entering of Hemath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up and all Israel to Baalah, that is, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belongeth to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubs, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased, because the Lord hath made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. You say, where is Levi here? We know David is from the tribe of Judah. So where is Levi in this story? What is the story? Well, really, today we're going to be on the highway of good intentions. The highway of good intentions. The Levite in this story is Obed-Edom, the Gittite. He was a Korathite. You remember back weeks ago, that is one of the sons of Levi. What was, if anybody remembers, what was the responsibility in the tabernacle of the Kohathites? Does anybody remember? Remember, every family of Levi, they had three sons of Levi, and all three sons' families had responsibilities in the tabernacle. Does anybody remember? Yes, sir. Music, that's good. Anybody else? That's right. The pegs. Okay. Anybody else remember? They were responsible, the Kohathites, part of their responsibility of the Kohathites was the articles inside the Holy of Holies. What's the primary article inside the Holy of Holies? The Ark of the Covenant. Guess where the Ark of the Covenant becomes resident for 3 months on this journey? In the house of a Kohathite, the descendant of Levi, who God gave the responsibility to take care of the Ark of the Covenant. Is that a coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. There's no coincidence in the Bible. So just let me lay some foundation here. And I forgot my watch this morning, so somebody flagged me when I'm going over. Because that's going to happen. You know me. So let me just lay some groundwork here. The Ark of God. Moses was given the responsibility by God at Mount Sinai to build the Ark. And so God gave him the dimensions, he gave him the pattern, he told him how to build it, what kind of wood to build it out of, how to overlay it with gold, what was supposed to be design of it. And so God told Moses at Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus. And so God says, yes, sir, I will do exactly as you have shown me and told me. They go down the mountain. God gives the abilities to certain people in the tribes to help build these articles. So Moses lays out the plan. These men build it with God's ability, and they build the Ark of the Covenant. And so when they build the Ark of the Covenant, and they bless it, and they sanctify it, and they've built the articles of the tabernacle, it goes inside to the most holy of places in the tabernacle, there at Mount Sinai, and it is called the Holy of Holies. And the high priest could only enter into the Holy of Holies one time a year, and that was the Day of Atonement. So it was a very special place, but also the Shekinah glory of God came down upon the Holy of Holies, upon the mercy seat, which is on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and showing that he was dwelling among his people. It was the presence of God amongst his people. So in the wilderness journey, when they were supposed to take movement from Mount Sinai to start going towards the promised land, remember we have the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night that was leading them. That was God's presence amongst the children of Israel. And he was leading them through the wilderness. And as he's leading them through the wilderness, the tribes of Levi, the three families of Levi, were giving specific responsibilities of the tabernacle. Some were to take care of the pins and the sockets that were holding the walls up. Some were to take care of the tents that were the sheeting that was the fence and the walls. Some were to take care of the door. Some were to take care of the articles. Some were to take care of the utensils. Everybody was given a specific task. So as the pillar moves, they were to follow. And so when they saw the pillar move, a trumpet would blast, and they knew, okay, we got to take down the tabernacle, we got to start moving. So they'd cover up all the articles of the tabernacle, especially the Ark of the Covenant. They would cover it because no man could see it. And there was a special way they had to do that. And there was a special way they had to move the Ark of the Covenant. And it would move with the tribes in a specific order. So we come to the Promised Land finally. They cross the Jordan River with Joshua. There was a special way they had to cross the Jordan River with the Ark of the Covenant. And then when they get into the Promised Land, they established themselves at a place called Gilgal. And that's where they really made their camp in the Promised Land. It's where the tabernacle was set up. It's where the Holy of Holies was. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was in Gilgal. Until sometime in the times of the Judges, they moved the tabernacle from Gilgal to a place called Shiloh. And that's where Eli, the high priest, took residence. That's where Samuel was brought and given to God. And that's where Samuel was raised in Shiloh. And that's where the tabernacle was now, and that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. We know the saying, it's never right to do wrong, to do right. We know that saying. Bob Jones Sr. is quoted with saying that verse, saying that quotation. But what about a lesser known saying that says it's knowing what's right doesn't mean much unless you do what's right? Theodore Roosevelt said that. Knowing what's right doesn't mean much unless you do what's right. That's what we're going to see today. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Now that I've laid the groundwork, I want to show you how the Ark of the Covenant came to be in the house of Abinadab. That's where David went to get the house, to get the Ark of the Covenant. It was in the house of Abinadab. Well, how did it get from Shiloh to the house of Abinadab? That's where we'll go now. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Verse 1, And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Samuel was the prophet of God. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle, thorn in their side, these Philistines. They are constantly battling the Israelites. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphex. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew the army in the field about 4,000 men. So another typical day in the life of Israel, they're fighting the Philistines. Either the Philistines have taken over land and the Israelites want it back, or Israel's trying to reclaim land from the Philistines or trying to finally take over the promised land portion where the Philistines lived. So it's just a normal day in the life of Israel, fighting the Philistines. But on this day, the Philistines were winning. And they had slew already 4,000 men of the tribes of Israel. So what does the Israelites do? Verse 3, And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. We've got a plan. They come back to the camp. The elders say, We can't do this again tomorrow. 4,000 men a day, we would be annihilated. We've got to come up with a plan. So the elders of Israel said, We got a plan. Let's go fetch the Ark of the Covenant. Well, that doesn't sound real spiritual, does it? Let's go fetch the Ark of the Covenant. Why don't we just go pray and ask God to help us? That's what they should have done. Because they have a problem here. Why are they losing this battle? Hold your place. We'll come right back to 4. Go to chapter 2. Look at verse 22. 2:22, or 1 Samuel. There's a problem in Israel right now. 1 Samuel 2:22. Now Eli, the high priest, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons, that's Hophni and Phinehas, and all his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women at the assembly at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. It wasn't secret. This wasn't a secret sin. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Now hold your place there and go to chapter 7. I'm sorry, you can lose your place there. Go to chapter 7. Chapter 7 and one verse, verse 3. Chapter 7 and verse 3 of 1 Samuel. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. When they came into the promised land, the children of Israel with Joshua were going out and vanquishing these major cities throughout the kingdom of the promised land. And they did that for a number of years, and then they were given their inheritance. We saw that a couple weeks ago. And they gave their inheritance to them in the promised land. And then as they got their inheritance, Joshua said, now it's time for you tribes and leaders of your tribes to go and take care of the rest of the problem in your land. Get rid of the pagans. Get rid of the false images. Get rid of the false gods. And slay the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Jerizzites and the Perizzites, all the ites. Go take care of them. Get them out of the land because they're going to turn you to their gods. Well, they didn't do that. They failed in this one task God gave them. So amongst them living in the promised land and on their cities and in their lands and in their inheritance are all these false tribes, false worshiping tribes, worshiping all these false images and all these gods along with the one true God. And so they've turned the people and corrupted the worship of the people. And now they're worshiping the images and the false gods of the people they were supposed to kill. And they come here to 1 Samuel chapter 4, and the Philistines are fighting them again. Another one of the people they should have vanquished. And the Philistines are winning. And they're like, why are we losing? Well, you haven't obeyed God, so He can't bless you. So they should have humbly come to God and repented and sought the face of God to turn away from these evil ways so that God could bless them. But what do they say? We've got a plan. Let's go fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. They were wrong in the way they were trying to get help. They believed the presence of the Ark would make God work for them. They believed their idea was that God should be forced to fight for them. How do you know that? They say, let us go get the Ark. They don't say, let us go get our God, or let us go pray to our God. They said, let us go get the Ark. And the way they said is, let's go fetch the Ark. And I'll show you here another place. They were simply tempting God. No doubt it seemed like a brilliant idea. It would work for certain. They were pleased with the idea. Oh yes, this is a great idea. Let's go get the Ark. But their belief is only on vain superstitions. They regard the Ark as just a good luck charm. They believe they can't lose with its presence. Notice the words they say. When it cometh among us, verse 3 of chapter 4 and the very end of the verse, when it cometh, not he, not the presence of God, but when the ark, so when it cometh among us, it may save us. They're not looking for God to save them. They're looking for the Ark of God to save them. they have adopted and brought into their selves cultures of false people. Of people that God said they should not be yoking up with and marrying and giving their daughters to or taking their daughters for them or worshiping their gods. Because these tribes that were left in the promised land trusted in idols. That's what they're doing here. They're trusting in this Ark of the Covenant to save them. These tribes that were supposed to be killed among the children of Israel, they carried holy relics into battle with them. They were basically demanding God to be at their bidding. We're going to bring this ark, this it. We're going to bring it. Let's go fetch it. We're going to bring it into the battle because 4,000 men have died. And we're going to bring it into the battle. And we're going to make God work for us. Wrong idea. God is not at our bidding. Look at verse 6. What happens to the Philistines now? They go, verse 4. So the people went to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth there in the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, these were the two guys that were sleeping at women at the door of the tabernacle. Okay? Real great people here. But they go get the temple, they go to the temple of God, the tabernacle of God, and they go and say, Hophni and Phinehas, we need your help. Help us bring the ark. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. Oh, we're not going to lose now. We have it. We've got the victory. And the shouting goes out, and the Philistines hear it in verse 6. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. And the Philistines were afraid. For they said, God is come. The heathens had more respect for the Ark of the Covenant than the children of Israel did. God is come into the camp. They're not looking at it as an it. They're looking, the Philistines, the enemy, is looking at this Ark of the Covenant as God has come into their camp. And they were afraid. It reads on, it says, and they understood that the Ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is coming to the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? They didn't understand everything. They understand a one true God, but they understand this was a mighty God or mighty gods. These are the hands that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit. And that word quit there doesn't mean like we think of quit. That means conduct. Be strong and quit or conduct yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves or conduct yourselves like men and fight. And the Philistines fought. And Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter. How many were slew in the first part before the ark came? 4,000. Look how many are killed now with the ark in their presence. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. Did the ark help them? No. Because they were going about it the wrong way. It was a good intention, but they were going about it the wrong way. And the ark of God was taken. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. We should compliment the Philistines on their understanding of what the Ark of the Covenant was. They knew it represented the presence of God. These mighty gods is what it says in verse 8. Even though they didn't understand very much about God, the Philistines recognized the superiority of their God, the Israelites' God. Yet they will not submit to God, but simply determined to fight against Him all the more. So if they really believed that the Israelites' God was greater than their gods, they would have submitted to their Israelites' God, and they would have just given up. But they felt like their God, Dagon, the fish god, they felt like he was chief and that he could succumb and he could give them the power and the strength to defeat the Israelites. So they would not submit to the Israelites. It says, be strong and quit yourselves, or be strong and conduct yourselves like men, O ye Philistines. The presence of the ark has not made the Philistines like giving up. They said, we got to fight even harder. We've got to show that we can win this thing. And they do. It says Israel was smitten or defeated. There was three reasons, really, real quickly, why they were defeated. The Philistines fought with courage as the underdogs. Secondly, the Israelites felt that the battle could be easily won because the Ark of the Covenant was there. They did not try as hard as they should have. And finally, God did not bless Israel's superstitious beliefs in the Ark instead of the power of God. The sin was still in the camp, as you could read back in Joshua and Achan's day. The sin was in the camp. They had unbelief in their camp. So the Ark of God was taken by the Philistines. A lot of things happened as the Ark was taken back to the land of the Philistines. Death followed it. Disease followed it. And then humorously, the Ark of the Covenant of God was brought into Dagon, their chief idol, and brought into this temple and sat before this image of Dagon, the fish god. And what do they come back in the morning and where's their idol? It's on its face in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And they set the Dagon back up, and the next day they come back up and it's on its face again. And then its arms are cut off. I mean, God really, it's almost humorous how God made that idol worship the Ark of the Covenant. So we saw where the people of God said, go fetch the ark. And we saw where the Philistines said, don't flee before the ark. We're not afraid of it. We know what it is, but we're not afraid of it. But then we go back to 2 Samuel, where we started. 2 Samuel, we said, David is a new king. He is king over both portions of Israel now. And he says, I want to bring the Ark of the Covenant back. So it was begun in Shiloh. They brought it into battle. The Philistines took it. And the Philistines said, we got to get rid of this thing. It's killing us. So the Philistines put it on an ark, on a cart. They put the ark on a cart with oxen. And they tie up the calves of these two cows, or these oxen. And they said, if it's the will of God, these cows will turn back to their babies that are locked in a pen. But if it's the will of God for it to go back to Israel, those cows are going to walk on to Israel, to the promised land. Of course, the cows walk on to the land of the promised land, and it comes to different places in the land, and it finally ends up at the house of Abinadab, where we started today. So that's how the Ark of the Covenant came to be at the house of Abinadab. And David knew where the Ark of the Covenant was. King Saul, the first king of Israel, knew where the Ark of the Covenant was. But it's still in the house of Abinadab. For at least 20 years, people defer over how long it was in the house of Abinadab, but it was there at least 20 years in this house. So David says, we got to go get the Ark. This is the lesson today. He says, he gathered everybody together. He said, we're going to go get the Ark out of the house of Abinadab. And we go to the ark and we see in verse 3 of 2 Samuel chapter 6, they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, these are not Levites, the sons of Abinadab drave the new cart. They drove the cart. How was the ark of the covenant supposed to be moved? By hand, by poles stuck through the rods. We could see that in Exodus and Numbers, if we went back there, and we could see where the Ark of the Covenant was a box, specific dimensions, and on the outside of the box were what do you ever call them? Brackets. Brackets on the sides of the Ark that had holes in them, and that you could slide a pole or a stave through these brackets, and then there were specific people that were to carry the Ark. So they put this stave or this pole through both sides, and there was priest in the front, priest in the back, priest on this side, and priest on this side, and they picked up the ark, and it's covered, and they're walking with the Ark of the Covenant. That was the Kohathites. Where does David put the Ark of the Covenant? In a cart. How did the Philistines move the Ark of the Covenant? In a cart. See a symbol here? They're not following God. It was good intentions. Let's bring the Ark of the Covenant back to the Promised Land, back to the city of David. Let's bring us back the Ark of the Covenant so that the presence of God can be here and so people can worship it and so that we are right back with God. It was good intentions, but they did it the wrong way. They put it in a cart, just like the Philistines did. So when they start moving it, they hit a bump with the oxen pulling the cart, and it starts shaking, or one of the oxen, it says in 1 Chronicles, it says one of the oxen stumble, and so the cart sort of tips over, and Uzzah tries to stop the Ark of God from falling out of the cart. You're not supposed to touch the Ark of the Covenant. And as soon as he touched it, he was dead. He was immediately killed because he disobeyed God. And David's scared to death. How am I going to bring the Ark of the Covenant to my people and to my city so that we can worship God and have Him in our presence when it's killing people? So he says, we can't do this. Hold the plans. Who's around here? Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Let's go put it in his house. So they move the Ark of the Covenant to Obed-Edom's household, and it stays there for 3 months. And by coincidence, right? No, there's no coincidence in the Word of God. By God's plan, it was placed in the house of a Levite, of the particular family of Levite that had given charge over the Ark of the Covenant to take care of it, to make sure it was okay, and if they had to move it, they were there. That was the Kohathites. I'm sure I've out of time. I haven't even started. Thank you, brother. Let me just sum up. We'll continue this next week because there's too much here. They set it upon the ark. They transported it like the Philistines. It was a big production, and David's like, oh, this is the great thing. And so they plan all how they're going to use this musical instruments. And did they ever pray to God how to do this? It was just a big thing for David to bring the Ark of God, a triumph. They should have followed directions of God. They should have followed, go back to Numbers chapter 4 and go back and look in Exodus and see how they were to move the Ark of the Covenant and to find the Levites to carry the Ark of the Covenant. Well, they didn't have to find them because they were in the right house, Obed-Edom. So David makes new plans, it says in verse 12 of 2 Samuel chapter 6. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the Ark of God. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that were bear the ark, see, it's not in a cart anymore. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, it arrived by God's method. The great spiritual truth in this lesson. The spiritual truth here is to be understood and learned from this lesson is that the blessings of God do not follow and do not come upon us because we're doing good intentions. David could not bring the Ark of the Covenant into his city, into the city of David, into Jerusalem. He could not bring the Ark of the Covenant there by good intentions. He had to do it God's way. Even the best intentions in the service of God will not have the blessings of God unless they're rendered in God's way. Give me 2 minutes and I'll sum this up. Today, in our world today, churches have good intentions to get their pews filled. Let's set up a coffee shop. Let's sort of lax on our standards. Let's change the music a little bit, give it a foot tap. It's good intentions, but it's not God's way. So God can't bless it. If we are to be blessed by God, we must follow His directions. And His directions are in this book. They've worked for centuries. Why change it? Who are we to change God's Word? Well, I can't understand this old King James language. It's just too confusing. So I'm going to write something so man can understand the Bible in his language today. Good intentions, but it's not God's way. This is God's Word. Don't tamper with it. Don't change it. Don't try to make it easier for you to read. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps you understand this book. Good intentions can get us in trouble. There's a saying, hell is paved with a road of good intentions. We must be cautious on how we serve God. Are we doing it with a method of good intentions? Or are we doing it God's way? Lord, I didn't do this lesson justice. I pray that you would help us go back into 2 Samuel 6, 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and help us understand what David did wrong. And then help us, Lord, to understand and take away from it so that we don't go on this highway of good intentions but go the direction of God's way so that we might have your blessings upon our lives. I pray that you will bless Pastor in the next hour. Help him, dear Lord. Give him strength, power. Holy Spirit, fill him, dear Lord. I pray that you would help us, dear Lord, to please you with our lives. Bless Brother Wheeler and his wife. I pray that you would be upon them even now. For it's in Christ's name.